There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks careers.
Yeah, time to stop with the cheesy jokes and actually talk careers this Tuesday afternoon. Two guests in the studio with us, David McKenzie, MD of McKenzie Jones, and Toby Simpson, Golf Recruitment Group. Hello to you both, and I guess Happy New Year.
Happy
We're
New
allowed
Year.
To set it for today, and maybe not again. Nice to see you both. But it is a poignant time to mention the New Year, because we're going to start by having a look into our crystal ball for 2018, having come out of quite a challenging year for recruitment. So it'd be good to get a perspective from both of you on what you think we might be facing this year. I don't know if you want to kick it off, David.
Disaster.
That, well, the Hayes report we've just talked about in news says optimistic, but yeah. You're not so optimistic,
no,
I understand.
I am, but a weathered optimism, and I think I see some flaws in the Hayes report, bearing in mind the universe they looked at. No, look, my view on 2018, first half will be probably very similar to 2017. There won't be a huge amount of increase in the amount of roles out there. I think after Ramadan and after the summer, we'll see an increase in the amount of roles, and more interestingly, better jobs, because I think people then will start recruiting, not replacements, but recruiting new roles.
So we've got to wait quite a long while into the year, because Ramadan obviously falling, I think, toward the middle of May, is it? All through the summer, we've got to wait a long time before you see anything picking up.
Yeah, but I think that's picking up. I think what you are seeing, and I was just saying to Toby, we've seen a big increase in our first quarter in the amount of roles we've placed. And I think that was a hang-up from 2017. And we're seeing a lot of optimism from clients that's yet to translate into live roles. But we're relatively busy at the moment, but I don't think it's going to be as this report, it looks like everything's fantastic.
A bumper year. Are you on the same page, Toby, as either Hayes or David? You've got to pick a side, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, think about that one.
More on the David side, to be honest. Well, there's nothing wrong with the Hayes report, but you just think about, if you're one of the respondents answering the question, you've just got uncertainty at the moment. You're sitting there in your office and you're just hoping it's going to be a good year. But there's nothing that said 2017 would be dismal, and yet it pretty much was for a lot of people. And there's no real indicators to tell us going forward. There's nothing we can really hang our hat on to say it's going to get better. So I think it's just a nice general positive round of optimism. But to be fair, I think what's going to happen is we've had a bad year, and things drag on very slowly. It hasn't been it hasn't been kind of calamitous. It hasn't been like you know kind of a Wall Street crash type fair. But things just drag on. Now, what's going to happen is in the boardrooms all around the GCC, the shareholders are going to be giving the executive management teams a real kick up the backside, and the executive management teams are probably going to be forced to cut costs. That's your standard knee jerk reaction from any kind of resulting board meeting. So what you're going to have is probably a flush out. You're going to have a lot more job seekers on the market, but then companies will start rehiring again. And the good thing about that, although it sounds disastrous and sounds knee-jerk, is when companies start growing again, when they start having new direction, the whole attitude picks up, the whole confidence, the whole kind of positivity comes back into it. And that feeds into people's lives as well. You know, one of the biggest problems we've got at the moment is consumer confidence. Apparently in the shopping malls, in the fairs, the numbers of people coming through the door are exactly the same, but they're spending less. And that's because people don't feel good about things. So if we have this kind of flush out, this change and this regrowth, and if as we expect, the UAE government is going to pump money into the economy again through infrastructure development, if there's going to be more tourism coming from the bright parts of the world, Europe and Asia, then we could have that rebirth, as David says, probably in the second half. But I think it's going to be Q1 is not going to be that exciting for anyone.
You've got to remember also, we talk about VAT an awful lot. That's going to add 12 billion dirhams to our coffers. Which we didn't have in 2017. So that is going to go somewhere, and it's being spent at the moment on things like infrastructure. So I do think we've had a terrible year, let's face it. And you talk to any person that calls us up, they either lost their job, they're unhappy in their job, and they don't know what to do. But I think what 2018 will bring is a sense of optimism, because I do think things are starting to get better. It just will take time.
Well, I mean, it's always going to take time. It's a little bit like building a snowman. You start with the snowball and you roll on the snow. Yeah. And it takes a while before you get the big belly of the snowman. And it's cold and it's tough. And that's kind of what 2017 has been. And we're still not there yet. But there is a glimmer of hope. You sent an article earlier on, David, I think it was.
Did you read that?
I did read the article.
Let's test him on it now,
2018,
David.
2018, the new year.
I have it in front of me. That's my resolution, to read your emails. The UAE's economic growth will accelerate to 4.4% in 2018. This is the IMF, who have data, as we know. And, I mean, to me, that's pretty decent after what was a difficult 2017.
Yeah, I think there's lots of statistics out there at the moment showing that 2018 will be a good year. But as Toby said, I think the Hayes report, there are a couple of flaws to that Hayes report. One is they interviewed, I think it was something like 4,000 candidates. Is that right, Toby?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And then it goes on to say 71% of employers are going to recruit this year. I don't know how that data stacks up.
So this is anecdotal from the candidates that they talked to who were talking about. Okay,
but candidates, by the very nature, they're candidates, are looking.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you talk to any recruitment company, we are optimists because that's what we do. Our job is to create the market and to grow the market. So we always see the silver lining to any cloud. But I think what the reality is, if you talk to a lot of clients these days, they're talking about gradual growth, about replacement of existing roles, about, as Toby said, about getting better people into roles and upgrading their workforce. That's what you're seeing an awful lot of at the end of 2017, and you'll see in 2018 a smaller workforce but an upgraded workforce.
Okay, so would it be fair to characterise it this way? Both of you say either yay or nay. H1, slow. Most of the hiring coming maybe towards around May. Ramadan will then obviously slow things down. The summer will slow things down. We're not going to see a change until probably September. Is that a reasonable way to characterise it? Would you say?
Maybe a bit earlier than that, I'd say. There's a couple of big things. You need a stimulus. You were talking about a snowball. So when the snowball starts rolling, it needs a hill to roll down. And actually,
once the momentum kicks in,
we need some sort of big news. We need something to happen in Saudi around the listing of Aramco. We need something to put, you know, sort of liquidity and confidence back in the market. A big event like that.
Okay. So we need a snowman by September.
and also, I think that there's another thing. You know, we talk about petrodollars. Everyone knows that oil is about $60 a barrel now, and everyone's anticipated, and they've factored that in. So rather than hoping it goes up 70 or 80, people realise the economy's got to grow on the back of that. So we're looking at new markets, and what we've seen in 2017 is an awful lot of startups. So this new economy that's booming in the Middle East is about startups, smaller companies, more agile, more nimble. They need less people, but they need different qualities of people. So I think what you'll see in 2018 is some of these younger, more dynamic, smaller businesses growing and being very successful.
Drive Live talks careers today. Two guests, Toby Simpson from the Gulf Recruitment Group. That's David McKenzie just there from McKenzie Jones. When will the growth begin? When are things going to get better? And what will get better? That's the question next.
Drive Live talks careers.
What we're doing this afternoon until 5. And two guests, David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones, Toby Simpson from the Gulf Recruitment Group. We're going to look at the Good Conduct Certificates news, the announcement that has come from the ministry, came yesterday. Actually, we've been talking about that today. That in a little while. However, first of all, predictions for the year. Game of two halves, 2018. Slow to start. Hopefully, the second half will be dominated by additional hires above replacements. So hopefully getting better. That's kind of the consensus. However, let's look at really what's going to do well this year now. What particular sectors, if you are in IT, is the year looking good for you? If you're in cybersecurity, obviously, David, at the moment, if you're anything to do with tax or you consult about tax, you're probably popular.
Yeah, definitely. I think tax is the word. But I think, as we talked earlier, I think the consultancies, we're placing a lot of people into the consultancies who are tax specialists. But I think we've had some unusual ones in 2017. So our retail luxury, it's a business run by a lady called Cassie Owen, and that has boomed this year. This is, you know, people like, I can't even mention the names, I suppose, but all the big luxury companies are growing here. And we've had a very good year in that respect. The other areas are sales and marketing has continued to be very successful. Our HR practice has been very quiet. But the obvious areas are the IT, big data, anything that is cyber security. We talked about the blockchain and Bitcoin. I still don't understand those two, but we haven't really had a huge amount of those coming through, but it's mainly been the sort of security, cybersecurity areas that have been that have been productive.
Okay, Toby, what about you? Would you agree with that? Would you add anything there?
Largely, yeah. I think just a word on the tax thing. It's a flash in the pan. When you look at all the countries around the world with indirect taxation and the proportion of their organisations that have a full-time indirect tax professional, they're normally massive retail companies and they'll have one person. So the people that will benefit, it's in the short term, it's the accountancy firms. Mm. All the businesses out there who have implemented and who will be implemented simply just pay their accountancy firm to come in and consult for a service and just set up. It's a fairly simple process. It's not rocket science. It doesn't take that long to get your systems in order. So, and accountancy firms won't necessarily hire thousands more people to do so, even though the demand side, because they have busy seasons. So all the tax accountants, the indirect tax accountants in Australia, Europe, India, you know, these sort of countries, when their busy season is done, they don't kick their heels for the rest of the year, but they have a lot of free time on their hands, so they tend to get seconded. So you'll get a lot of, you know, Indian tax accountants being seconded here, UK tax accountants being seconded here. So we'll see if it really does have a huge boost in hiring. But you look for bright lights somewhere at the end of the tunnel. The one thing that is good is actually the rest of the world isn't doing too badly. Apart from the US and the UK, those are not great places to be. But actually the Eurozone and Eastern Europe is their growth forecasts for this year are pretty strong. Same with emerging market Asia, and Japan is really rebounding as well. So tourism, for example, may well have a really good year. Hotels and leisure, that could be a strong point.
Yes, it's interesting on that. I mean, I was with a hotelier the other day, and they're down in terms of their yields are really badly down. And bear in mind, a lot of our economy is based on tourism. Do you think that's going to get better?
Well, I think last year, all around the world, we had a lot of uncertainty and a lot of when consumers aren't confident, it's the last thing they buy is an expensive holiday. But actually, around the world, we're starting to see peaks now of people getting back to a steady state of confidence, particularly within the Eurozone, Eastern Europe, Asia, Japan. And those are great tourism markets for the UAE. Mm. So I think probably it will be quite a good year. But like you, seeing the trend in technology as well, technology ventures, technology startups, I think there's a lot of impetus by the government here to drive that sort of investment into those sectors, because I think David mentioned SME in the sector before. Just like in 2009, when we had a bit of a restructure of the general economy, you had this enormous burst new companies being registered, and some of those companies didn't work out. Some of those companies went on to be souk.coms or whatever it might be, and actually that is a big
that
sector
would be
for
Amazon
driving
now.
The growth. Right, exactly, yeah.
Gobbled
those
up.
Are the success stories we need.
It's interesting. We do quite a bit of work with TECOM here, and they're a really interesting business because they incubate loads of different companies. Yet most people know them as Media City and Internet City, but they're a really innovative bunch of people there. They set up this university in Design District called Didi, Design Institute Development. Basically, they set it up, and it's the first of its kind in the world that's backed by two big fashion colleges and MIT. And it's really interesting. I mean, there's lots of these little startups happening, and they're going to employ 30 to 40 people. So I think we talked about SMEs as the way forward, and I really think that you're going to see over 2018 lots of these little startups happening, like the Souks, etc., and becoming quite big.
Do you notice that clients are more enthusiastic about joining an SME environment nowadays? It's almost sort of got an excitement level to it. You know, it would have been in the past maybe where you wanted a name that you knew you could rely on, and maybe you got all the benefits. But joining an SME as a candidate can be a risk.
Yeah.
But do you find that there's quite a lot of buzz around them here?
It's almost a dichotomy. When people are nervous about the overall job environment, the last thing they want to do is join an SME. When confidence is down, they don't want to join an SME. But this is actually the best time to do it. When the large corporate players are thinking about trenching back and you know, kind of controlling their costs, it's the SMEs that are going to be the growth engines of this market, the really exciting places to be. And as both David and I will tell you, you get into an organization early that prospers, you end up doing really well yourself. Your organic growth is enormous. So, yeah, if it's a good idea, if you like the people, if it makes sense, get in there.
And if you have the mentality to do it, this is the thing. If
you
you're
do
ready
need a certain
to do
mentality,
the work, you,
yeah.
you need to have that mindset that I'm going to jump in. What we also need, though, is certainly the financial infrastructure to support SMEs.
Yes.
That certainly needs more backbone, doesn't it?
Let's face it. And let's face it, there are lots of the banks, as Toby knows is better than I do, who have pulled out of the SME market.
Yeah.
And they're not funding. I think also, just in terms of going back to people, I think what you need to do is be a lot more resilient in these markets. You know, we used to have a situation where the average candidate lifespan in the company was probably a year and a half to 2 years. And I think now, and we talked about in recruitment, you know, the average tenure of a consultant can be up to only a year or so. And I think people have got to be a lot more, they have to look at a job and look at the good bits and the bad bits. So it's not always about, you know, big bonuses and stuff. It's about keeping your role, developing in your role, learning, but also going through the bad bits so that when you come out of that and the market picks up, you understand what's good and what's bad. And I think people sometimes forget that in the Middle East.
They bounce around too often. The temptation is to just move around a lot.
We were talking about, you know, recruiters, and we're the worst bunch of people. You know, our guys will come in, have a bad course, and they go, I'm going to go somewhere else and get, you know, 1,500 dirhams more. It's an internal problem that every recruitment company faces. I think if I look at some of the more successful people in Mackenzie Jones and probably Gulf Recruitment Group, they've been there 3 or 4 years. You know, we have a guy in our business called Matt. He's been with us 4 years. He's had ups and downs, but he's consistently, he keeps going. He's very good. He's got a very good client relationship, and he if he has a bad quarter, he doesn't worry about it because he knows what to do and how to get through those bad times.
We have two guests with us, David Mackenzie from Mackenzie Jones, Toby Simpson from the Gulf Recruitment Group. Predictions for this year, 2018. Question in for you from Naveen. Well, I'll put that to you now. We'll come back and answer it after the break. How about data analytics? What's that going to be like? We'll answer that in a second. Plus, we're going to be talking about good conduct certificates. How do you get one? And why are you going to need one here in the UAE soon?
Drive Live talks careers.
Before that, though, just very briefly, Naveen texts, and I mentioned this to you a moment or so ago, David and Toby, our guests this afternoon. Data analytics, how's that looking this year? I'm going to start with you, Toby, on this.
Yeah, good point, Naveen. He's actually picked up on something I totally forgot about. I was fortunate enough to go to the Market Research and Data Analytics conference here, and I learned a hell of a lot.
That must have been riveting.
I was waiting for a punchline there.
It was a lot of fun, I can tell you guys. Brilliant people, stop laughing. It was great fun. And actually, it's terrifying what companies know about you nowadays. My first job was in market research, and the amount of basic data back in the year 2001 we had to deal with and turn it into something useful was a real challenge. The challenge is the opposite now. Companies know enormous amounts of data about you and the data available, and the challenge is now compressing that into something that's meaningful. Now, to answer Naveen's question, data analytics has happened for quite a while, but traditionally it tends to only be the multinational companies that are really taking it seriously. Now, what happens is the data analytics jobs are back in their head offices, be that in Switzerland, New York, Tokyo, wherever it might be, so that the numbers will come from the Gulf, they'll be crunched over there and sent back here in a report to the managing director who's running the region to act on. But actually, because of the amount of data that's becoming available, and because Gulf companies are starting to take it a lot more seriously, you probably will see a large growth in these roles. And simply because people are beginning to understand that it's actually a money saver. Spending money on data analytics saves you enormous failures in product launches, which can be incredibly expensive. It's a very cost-effective way to make sure your kind of investment spend is focused in the right direction. So, yes, great point, Naveen. I think there certainly will be some growth. I don't think it's going to be immediate. It's when companies start to do their strategic planning and start looking at new areas. Will they really start to boost their marketing teams? And their marketing teams have to start building data analytics as a core part of that function.
Plus, if you want a great day out, a data conference is apparently one of the things
to do. I can't believe it. Why did you go to it?
I was chairing it, so they asked me to stand up and say a few words.
I love that. Toby was chairing the data analytics conference.
Which is why it was so good. And Naveen also observed something, actually. I'm working for an SME, looking to for my own replacement as I'm now starting my own. Naveen has found is a real surprise, applications coming from big group candidates who are being made redundant. So more and more, it seems, people are looking at that, looking at SMEs as an opportunity.
I think Dubai has positioned itself as the SME hub, and we're getting a very good reputation for encouraging companies to grow here. And I think what comes off the back of that, it stimulates your job market, because you can often get a much bigger job in a smaller company, which often stimulates you as an individual, grows you as a person. It also highlights where you're weak as well. So I think people going into SMEs have to be very confident they can do what they say they're going to do.
Can we ask you guys about this new resolution that we've got to all have a good conduct and behaviour certificate? It's now going to be a condition of receiving a work visa, either from if you're coming from outside or changing job here in the UAE. First of all, what exactly is it, this good conduct certificate? Toby, do you want to take this one on?
Have you got one, Toby?
I didn't. Not from my wife. I didn't know what it was at all, so it's brand new to me, and I think brand new is terrifying. And I've got to say, these are one of the things, you know, WAM, the media agency, drip feeds out news, and they drip feed it in a tantalising fashion, only giving you half of the information you need. So we recruiters run around with our hair on fire going, oh my God!
Armageddon,
it's going to ruin our life. And of course, the things we're scared about more than anything is time. So, you know, this sounds like, you know, some form of government bureaucracy. So if you're a citizen of, you know, I don't know, the Turks and Caicos Islands, you're going to have to somehow apply to the Turks and Caicos Islands for them to get you to post a certificate back minimum. Whether that's possible or not, whether they'll understand what you're even asking for, and getting it here is going to delay things by at least 21 days. Now, in the job market for us, that's incredibly frustrating. Mm-hmm. And if you then have to go on to other bits and pieces of formalities, it makes life very, very boring. You know, all sorts of questions. I think if you're within 5 years, I've just found, we were talking earlier.
That's right. If you've been here for 5 years, you can get your good conduct certificate from the police here. And I don't think that's a very difficult process.
It's very easy, yeah.
But I mean, that's, you know, a good point that you make there, Toby, because a lot of things already hold up for some companies. The visa application, has the previous company played ball by cancelling your visa? All of those things can leave somebody in quite a lot of limbo, where they can't do anything else because their visa's under application.
And also, what's not in there is, what does good conduct qualify for? Now, you know, it's basically
that might depend which country you're from,
so
as well.
Exactly, I know. If you've got an excess of parking tickets, if all of a sudden is my visa not going to get renewed? Is does it go that far, or do you have to be a serial killer? Where does it stop on the line
to
of criminality?
To get one?
No, to be kicked out. But you know, there's various things that will show up. We've looked at criminal record checks for a long time privately, and there are various things down to very petty minor offences, you know, up to serious things that show up on there, and it gives the client the choice about, do you want someone who's convicted of fraud working for you, or do you mind if they've, I don't know, shoplifted a candy bar when they were 16 type thing.
Well, I mean, the thing here is, this goes toward a safer environment, a safer country, and you understand the reasons for this.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the last take 5 years, how many times have you been asked, David, for a certificate of good conduct for a prospective employer?
I've done it. I've actually managed to get 3 so far, and they were mainly for government. And I had to go to Birdie Bay with the candidate and get a good conduct. And it was the police were very helpful. It took no time at all. We had to get down a couple of times because we had the wrong paperwork. But I think the point being, I think checks to make the UAE a safer place are fantastic. But we're in a situation now where the economy is, you know, isn't moving at the pace it should be, and we're putting another hurdle in place to get people into jobs quicker. As Toby said, the average time it takes to get somebody from leaving their current company to starting on is roughly between a month and 3 months, depending on the notice period. And during that time, you have to get the visa sorted out. You might have to get a CID check. There's loads of tests, degree certificates. These all cost money as well. I looked on the UK website, and this is for the English only, not for the Scots, apparently. But to get you can pay £10, you can get your good conduct certificate, and the British police will then mail it to you. They'll mail it to you, which, as Toby said, could take up to 21 days. Mm. If it's anything like my mum's birthday card, it'll take about 7 years. Still haven't got it. But what all this does, it just holds up process of getting a person a job. And I don't quite understand what it's for and what it will do to make us a safer place.
Well, it is in force. I think it's from February the 4th, that much we know. But if you are here renewing a visa, it should be a reasonably straightforward process, because it seems to be that if you do go to Dubai Police and say, I need this certificate, it's straightforward.
They know what they do. Right. They know what it's about. But it's more a question of...
Sure.
If you've got to, you know, I've got a place in Turkey, and trying to get stuff done in Turkey is an absolute nightmare, because bureaucracy, they just lose everything, unfortunately. So trying to get it from some countries that aren't used to this could actually mean you could lose your job.
Maybe your mum complained she didn't get a birthday card from you, so they thought, well, we'll sort that for you. And 7 years later,
it's in Turkey.
It might be there. Two guests today on Drive Live Talks Careers, David McKenzie from McKenzie Jones. Thank you, David. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
And also Toby Simpson from the Golf Recruitment Group. Toby, thank you.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.